Sometimes I think I should say.
Test.
Check my mic. I think everybody can hear me okay, though.
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I've come to realize that people, for the most part, are good-hearted, honest people. We don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal. But wait, define lie. Define cheat. Define steal. These three things often set Christians apart from the rest of the world. Out of McHenry's Stories for the Soul comes a quote from John Ortberg, Seeds Taped Ministry. I guess it was a quote from a quote from a quote, or so to speak. It said, Larry Burkett is a well-known Christian advisor. From his experience, he estimates that 50% of those who call themselves Christians cheat on their taxes. 50%. As an advisor, as a Christian advisor, from his experience, he estimates that 50% of those who call themselves Christians cheat on their taxes. We may see this as an alarming or unreal statistic. However, when someone disagrees with a law or statute, they often feel they don't have to follow it, even Christians. Taxes seem unfair, but even Joseph and Mary paid taxes. When we were in Wheeler, one of the men in the Bible class spoke up and he said, it's amazing to me how many people just disregard the rules. He said, I took my wife down to the local store or something or the town next door and said, as I was sitting there waiting, watching people come in and out the door clearly had a sign on it that clearly said, everyone must wear a mask to enter, but less than half the people put their mask on. They just ignored it and walked by. Well, I think that his illustration was a little flawed or a little skewed, because I know that America is about sick of the whole mask thing. But the principle behind his statement was true. There's people that believe if I don't agree with it, I'm not going to do it, regardless of whose law or whose rule it is. This oftentimes applies to God's laws as well. Again, Joseph and Mary paid taxes, so we must understand that unfair treatment does not give us license to cheat or to lie or to steal. Call it human nature, just the way it is, but people don't believe that rules apply to them if they happen to disagree with that particular rule. It seems to me, for the most part, people are honest. However, it's surprising how many people will lie to get something of trivial value. Consider this: a man takes his wife and his two children to a theme park or to a movie theater or something of that nature. And when they get there, the rule says that children under 12 can get in free. One of his kids is 10 and the other is 13. But he tells the person, he says, my kids are both under 12. And so they let him in and he doesn't have to pay for those kids. Now, he saved $4 for admission on that one kid that was actually over 12. And he felt like he did good. After all, those places charge way too much anyway, and they'll get it back on the exorbitant prices that they charge for drinks and snacks. And who doesn't agree with that logic? Well, for one, God doesn't agree with that logic. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. An all too familiar passage, Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay, so if they're putting liars in with the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, God must think it's pretty serious. This guy's willing to have his part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone for $4? What did he do with that $4 that he saved by not paying for that kid? Interesting. Was the dad the only guilty one in the illustration? We may at first think so, but wasn't his wife guilty too? Someone that goes along with something that isn't true is a false witness. Remember, they sought false witness against Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. Matthew 26, verse 59. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. They looked for someone that didn't have a problem with lie. They looked for someone with no scruples. This guy will do it. Who will lie? If I pay you something, will you? Yeah, I don't care. I don't have a problem with that. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 5. Proverbs 19 verse 5 says this, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." A lot of people I know will admit to an occasional quote-unquote white lie, but swear that they would never cheat or they would never steal. I found that kind of interesting, and I thought it really kind of fits a mold that we look at as people. I've been told by several people, everyone lies. Everyone. Everyone. Well, the people that constantly drive over the speed limit believe that everyone drives over the speed limit. And the people that don't have a problem cheating on their taxes believe that everyone cheats on their taxes. And tell me this, parents, if your child asked you to do something and you told them, no, you're not going to do that, and they said, but everyone is doing it, would that make a difference? Absolutely not. We tend to have the attitude that if everyone else is doing it, then maybe it is either it isn't that bad or it's something that can't be helped. Well, it's just something, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. I had a man tell me one time that he and his wife were walking down the street holding hands, and they had 11 children. Him and his wife had 11 kids or 12 kids. I can't remember which. It was a lot. They had a lot of kids, and time and age had worn on them a bit. They weren't real old people, but time and age had worn on them a bit. And he said they were walking down the street, and an attractive young lady in some scantily clad clothes walks by, and his head turns, and she elbowed him. And he goes, "Hey, I'm just a man." And she said, "No, you're a Christian." And he had to say, "You know what? You're right. As a Christian, I need to have pure thoughts. I need to keep my thoughts pure." We, as Christians, we have a different level of what the way we should act and the way we should think. Even though I'm just a man, it can't be helped, that attitude. Well, you know, to tell a little lie, it's just something that can't be helped. It's just the way it is. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." As a kid, I can very clearly remember whenever I'd get out of line, my mom would straighten me out by saying, "Boy, you better get on the straight and narrow." And although I had no idea where that came from, there was no doubt I knew what it meant. In fact, just by the tone of her voice, I knew that I better straighten up. I tried to find the words lie, cheat, and steal in the Bible. And while I could find the word lie, lies, liar several times, lied, I could never find the word cheat. I couldn't find the word cheat, not even once. However, I did find quite a bit that was said about cheating. Look at Job chapter 31 and verse 6. The book of Job chapter 31 and verse 6. Job here says this. He says, "Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." Let me be weighed in an even balance. What does that have to do with cheating? It says this is basically saying, give me a fair trial. No false witnesses, no liars. Just give me a fair trial. I'm willing to stand right now. I'll stand before all of you on what I say and what I do. Just give me a fair trial. Don't false witnesses. That's what he's saying. Today, we buy things with our modern currency, of which value originated by how much precious metals were in a coin. In past cultures, I'm sure, and in some even today, they would use balance scales. Let me be weighed in an even balance. In order to understand that, the merchant would put a known weight on one side of the scale, and it would go down, and then they would add produce to the other side until it balanced. And when it balanced, then we know that the produce was the exact amount of whatever the weight was, or the balance. So dishonest merchants would use a false weight to skim from the consumers. They usually had a weight that was a little over and a weight that was a little under. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 13. And it says here in this passage, it says, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small." You shouldn't have different weights in your bag. They had different weights in their bag, holding back for certain things. The greater weight would be used when he was weighing something for which he would have to get paid. That way he would get more than he paid for. The lesser weight would be used when weighing something that which he was going to have to pay for. That way he wouldn't be paying for as much. He would be getting more than he should have been getting. It's just a matter of cheating someone out of something. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "A false balance is an abomination unto the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." Again, we don't use the balance scales in our currency or the way we purchase things. However, we think about this. Have you ever? Maybe some of you have done that. Maybe just me. I haven't done it in a long time. But I know when gas prices started climbing and were going crazy, I started watching my gas pump and making sure that they're not rounding me up on every gallon. It seems like it's a little high sometimes. When gas got up to about $4 a gallon, sometimes I'd sit down and figure up and make sure that I'm getting charged exactly what I'm getting in my tank. But even that, how do I know? All I can go by is the pump said I got 20 gallons and the pump charged me for 20 gallons. How do I know they didn't give me only 18? You just really don't know. Well, again, Proverbs 21:6 says this. Proverbs 21:6 says this, "The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." We don't use balance scales anymore. Anyway, it would be difficult to cheat someone out of their change or their merchandise, right? With the way our dollar system works. The false balance is used as an example to dishonest actions. And sometimes we don't look at it as they cheated me out of a couple of dollars, or they cheated me out of this or cheated me out of that. Sometimes it's the principle. It's not so much as they ripped me off for a quarter. That's not the thing. The point is they ripped me off, not so much as that it was a quarter. I know that if you talk to Charlie about the years that he was in the grocery business, that there was a lot of things that he dealt with on a constant basis. Dishonest people, lying people. Oh yeah, I'll have you a check here on Friday, and come Friday, and come Friday, and come Friday, and months go by and never get paid. And so there's dishonest people. And one thing I know is that with Charlie and his family, integrity ran high in that store, and they always gave people a fair shot, and he always treated people fairly, regardless of how he was treated back the other way. Now, how many people recognized that and saw Charlie as, well, you know what, I took advantage of him, but he was always fair to me? I think you can find out by looking at how many people have asked Charlie to do somebody's funeral or somebody to speak on somebody's behalf, because they know that the whole town understands his integrity. Not as Charlie Brown, but as a Christian. As a Christian first. And then everybody else knows that Charlie Brown is a Christian because of that. What happens, we have ample opportunity to practice righteousness or unrighteousness in our lives. Have you ever been charged too much for something? And you complained, right? What about when someone doesn't charge you enough? What about when someone doesn't charge you enough? Imagine this, you walk into a store and you purchase something, and as you leave and you get 5 miles down the road, you realize that they didn't charge you for part of it. What do? Do you turn around and go back? I'll take care of it tomorrow, or I'll take care of it another day. What do? You go back? You let them know? How far away do you have to drive before you'll turn around and go back and say, hey, you forgot to charge me this $20. You forgot to charge me this $90. You forgot to charge me this $150. You undercharged me. Do we go back? Because God hates an unfair balance. If it's unfair in our to our advantage or to their advantage, it's still unfair. And we have to think about those things. Do we bring it to their attention? Do we keep our mouth shut and allow someone to believe a lie is no different than lying to ourselves? Sometimes people ask things like, where does the Bible tell us that we have to be good? Aside from the difference often associated with light and darkness, or with righteousness and unrighteousness, we have a recurrent condemnation of the wicked. Constantly throughout the scriptures, the wicked are condemned for being what? Wicked. In fact, many times the religious leaders of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees, they lived the lives and they claimed the lives of the righteous. but they lived the lives of the unrighteous. They were doing, practicing unrighteous deeds. Look at what kind of people they turned into when it came time to take the Son of God to the cross. You think about their attitudes. Crucify him. But what about crucify him? They wouldn't even let the words out of his mouth. Think about those people as they walk by and they spit on the Son of God. And they come on down from that cross if you can. He had nails in his hands and his feet. You're not the Son of God. Who do you think you are? The attitude that they had. Look at Psalm 10, verse 4 through 7. Psalm 10, verse 4 through 7. It says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Well, sometimes we look at someone or we talk about someone and we say, well, he's kind of a little scoundrel, you know. He's been kind of a scoundrel his whole life. He's one of those guys that you just got to kind of watch for. He's a great, great guy. Just always count your money when you leave. He's a great guy. Just check his pockets before he leaves your house. That's not a great person. When we look at a passage like this, we first see the wicked. That automatically rules me out because I'm not wicked, right? Next, we see that he will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. That definitely rules me out because I love God and I seek him and I think about him all the time, right? But when we get down to the part that describes the wicked by saying his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, under his tongue is mischief and vanity, how many people we know fit into that category? Even though they may claim to be godly people, they may claim to be righteous people, yet all it takes is one little thing, one little slip, and automatically their language turns into profanity. Their attitude turns into that of an abrasive attitude. And we have to be calm and think about these things as Christians. Where are we at? Did we put that old man just far enough under the water that he can pop up at any time and just give someone a tongue lashing? Have we put the old man just under the scenes just far enough that nobody can see him until something happens and we unleash him? Like unleashing a dog when someone comes into our property? A little bit scary to think that, but we see it all the time. It happens. How many people do we know that fit this description? Please note, God does not expect us to be perfect, but at least he expects us to try to be righteous. I would like to talk to a police officer and ask them how many times he hears the excuse, I'm sorry, but I didn't know what the speed limit was here. Or something to the effect of, well, it was 70 back there, I thought it was still 70. I'd like to talk to a police officer and ask him, how many times when people talk to you do you believe that it's a lie? How many times do they make up excuses as to what they're doing? You clearly broke the speed limit. How many excuses do we have to make to get us out of the consequences of trying to beat the system? Imagine all the excuses that police hear every day. Now think about God. Can you imagine how many people willfully commit fraud, deceit, and mischief, and general crookery, and just think that they're getting away with it because nothing is done about it? We will be held accountable. James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many times do we look at politicians in the news? How many times do we look at people that are being arrested for tax fraud while there's others that are committing 10 times greater tax fraud and they're getting away with it because of the color of their skin or because of the lack of color of their skin or because of the gender or whatever the lack of gender, whatever the reason may be. Because of their celebrity status, whatever the case may be, they're getting away with fraud. And nobody does anything about it. How many politicians are committing fraud and we see it right there, blatantly lying? We talked about this on the way over here this morning. I heard an interview by our Vice President of the United States. Interviewer asker says, are you going to go to the border? She said, I've been to the border. He said, when are you going to the border? I've been to the border. He said, you haven't been to the border. She goes, I haven't been to Europe either. But in other words, she just got through lying basically by saying, I've been to the border. No, you haven't been. He said, you haven't. He called her out. You haven't been to the border. Well, I haven't been to the Europe either. But what difference does it make? And what do people say? Yeah, so what? Everybody lies. Everyone lies. Everyone. So they can get away with it. Bill Clinton, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Yeah, I had a sexual relation with that woman. When the proof came out, there's no denying it. The proof came out. Oh, yeah, well, you know, everybody lies. It's just the way it is. Everybody lies. No big deal. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Have you ever been lied to? Everyone has. Have you ever been cheated? One of my coworkers has a sign above his desk that says, I don't know what's worse, you lying to me or you thinking that I don't know that you're lying to me. How many times has someone cheated you or lied to you and you knew full well that they had done it, yet they believed that they had gotten away with it? How much more do you think God knows about our thoughts? Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He doesn't say God hears the words of the wicked and it causes him grief. God hears the words of the wicked and they're abomination to him. It said the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. God knows our very thoughts. If you're paying attention, then you caught that the Lord is pleased by the words of the pure. Why is it that most people believe that everyone lies, but doesn't believe that everyone cheats or steals? Interesting thought. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 11. Leviticus 19 verse 11 says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Do not lie to one another. Do not cheat. Do not steal. That dealing falsely is cheating, I guess. I'm sure for the most part, these are all things that we as Christians generally don't have to worry about. As I mentioned, the fact that we don't engage in these things is part of what sets us apart from the rest of the world. I can remember being in preaching school and thinking, I'm in another world here. I would get up in the morning in the Hopkins home, and sometimes they were there, sometimes they were not there, sometimes they were gone to work, sometimes they were still there. And I would get up and I would leave for school, and I would drive my little truck over to the school building, and I would walk up, and we're talking about Austin, Texas, which is Little California. And I would go up to the church building and open the building and go in, deactivate the alarm, and go sit down at my desk. I had my computer, my phone, my wallet, whatever it was, I could leave it there. I didn't ever have to worry about it. When all the class is there, we don't have to worry about anything. Just like here. When we're here, and nobody worried about anybody taking anything out of their purse or out of their pew or taking something out of their car. Now, when we close the doors and our cars are out there, our cars are out in the world while we're in here. As Christians, we have that mentality. We don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal. And we assume that others are the same. As I mentioned, the fact that we don't engage in these things sets us apart from the world, but as such, we need to be ever mindful that we don't fall into the trap of accepting that just a little deceit or little white lies are normal. We have to be careful not to say, well, you know, everybody's doing it, it's okay. It's just one of those things. We have to set our mind to saying, I can't live like this. I will not do this. I will not. I will live the life that Jesus calls me to live. Grow constantly towards Christ. Perhaps it's human nature to take in information, evaluate it, and respond accordingly. If this means stretching the truth, then we've become very proficient at it. Because our mind works in such a way that if someone's talking, we're already putting together what we're going to say to answer to that. You ever look at your child and say, why did you do that? I didn't do it. He did it. Scruffy did not eat that bowl of cereal. I'm sorry. Scruffy did not pour milk out of the refrigerator. But kids have a tendency to blame whoever's closest, right? If we watch the behavior of kids, we'll find the behavior. That's not that kids are bad. That's the human nature in them that's coming out and that's wanting to divert the blame somewhere else, no matter what it takes. We as adults learn that we can't do that anymore. We can't be that way. Even though it kind of comes natural and comes easy to us, we have to learn that I can't do that. I can't stretch the truth. Some people believe it is for the if it is for the greater good, then it is acceptable and even expected. However, God is clear in how He expects us to act and how He expects us to behave. None of us are immune to the everyday temptations of sin, nor are we unaffected by the things of this world. That means that sometimes those things are going to wear off on us. We're told evil communications corrupt good morals. That means that be careful who you hang out with. If your kid starts hanging around with a bunch of thugs, you're going to be worried about that. Don't be doing that. Why are you hanging around with them? Are you a thug or what's going on? Why are you doing that? You're going to worry about it. You're going to watch real closely who your children hang around with. We become overprotective parents sometimes because we're afraid of what might happen. But that's not too bad because we want to make sure that they're not too much affected. We have to understand we need to teach them that the worldly things are going to happen. They're going to go on. We need to learn how to deflect them. We need to learn how to deflect those things. Because we're not going to be unaffected by the things of the world. Sometimes the little things that the world takes for granted, everyone is doing it. We too fall into without ever realizing it. James chapter 1 verse 19. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What that's telling us is, and this is some place where I started to put a whole, I could put a whole sermon together on this. I'd be preaching to myself so hard that I don't know that anybody would hear me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. What he's saying is take what's coming in and instead of generalizing, putting together what you're going to say and blurting it out, slow down, think about what's being said to you and answer appropriately according to Scripture. If we would really stop and think about every word we speak and every decision we make, keeping Jesus in the forefront of all our decisions, then we can overcome. Our Christian walk is a constant growing, just as an athlete constantly strives to be better. You ever see some weightlifter and he wins a competition, he wins the first place for all his poses or whatever. He's got the perfect physique and he wins. And so he says, I made it to the top. Now I'm going to go get me some pizza and I'm going to go get a milkshake and I'm just going to live it off. I'm going to let it off. No, he continues to work and work and work. Why do you think football players, you think high school, you go by the high school, and you'll see football players out there, they're practicing. They're practicing, 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 so they can get better, right? Go by the college, you'll see football players practicing, practicing, practicing. Go to the NFL locker room, you'll see people, or the NFL field, you'll see people practicing. Why? Didn't they practice enough when they were in high school to get good? No, they constantly want to get a little better, a little better, a little better to be the best that they can be. Our Christian walk is really not much different than that. It's a constant growing thing. We're going to constantly want to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. We're not going to find or attain a level where I can back off now. I can coast. We're not going to get to that point. We must seek to attain a more Christ-like life every day. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God would not expect us to overcome something that was impossible to overcome, but rather gives us ways that we can have strength and that we can overcome those things. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, and we'll close. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That tells us that there are two sides. There are two forces that are pulling constantly. Do not be overcome with evil, but be overcome with good. The old saying that I used to put it on the board, those of you who are in my high school class and even in my young adults class, it said, two loves beat within my chest. The one is evil, the other blessed. The one you love, the one you hate, the one you feed will dominate. What are you feeding today in your life? Are you feeding the evil, the white lies, the little cheating, the little stealing, the little things like that? Are you letting those things come in and influence your life? Are you feeding righteousness and goodness in God's word? If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?